Will you come again next year, please? Probably we're going to, should be able to give us two or three possible dates for next year when I meet with the leadership tonight or tomorrow. So, Lord willing, I'll be back next year for a couple of days like this one. Please could you explain the difference between Angel of Jehovah, Angel of the Lord? What would you see? Well, the angel of the Lord is a term that is used only for one specific angel who's not a true angel. He's the second member of the Trinity. So he may appear in different ways, in different forms. But as far as normal angels, angels simply always appear as young men, never as old men, never as women. All angels appear as young men. And so there are no female angels. If that rubs you the wrong way, it can give you the other side. That also means all demons are also male. Let's hope that balances out a bit. But the angels, when they appear, always appear as young men, often mistaken for young men. But the angel of the Lord always appears in a more glorified form, and they understand what they are seeing. What do you think of the Antichrist, the Islamic Antichrist theory? Some see Daniel 9:26 as provincial soldiers, Syrians, etc. Is this a valid interpretation? First of all, to call him an Islamic, Muslims were not even present in AD 70. Islam came into existence in Arabia in about the 6th century. In the 7th century, the Muslim conquest, where the land of Israel became under Muslim authority. So the system of the temple was not destroyed by Muslims. What people do with this is claim that that there's going to be an Islamic Arab Antichrist. A couple of problems with that. First of all, while Syria today is Arab, when did Syria become Arab? Became Arab as a result of the Arab invasion in the 7th century. And the native population of Syria was Armenian. And the Armenians were people that were living there, and actually Abraham was an Armenian. Not Armenian, but he was Armenian, correct? Not Aramaic, Armenian in that sense. And until God called him to become the first Jew. But the whole family of Abraham was from Aram. Later became known as Syria in Greek, but was not called that in the Old Testament. They're called the Aram, Arameans. Another thing to note is that, if we're going to deal with the Syrian contingency that supposedly destroyed the temple, these were not Arabs. These were Arameans at that point of time. And they are non-Arab people. Furthermore, we read in another passage, which was not part of the study, Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 22, that Israel enters the covenant for reasons of Israeli security, and the Antichrist promises them military security. And I can tell you for sure that no Israeli leader, whether he is leftist or rightist or centrist, will trust any Muslim Arab to guarantee Israel's military security. That ain't going to happen. And furthermore, it's not the contingency that is the issue. It's the government that controlled the contingency. And so what Babylon conquered was given to Babylonian authority, although the soldiers not always Babylonian, and so on. And so under the Roman authority, and so the Antichrist will have to be a Gentile or Roman background. But he will not be an Arab, he will not be a Muslim. This is an example of using current events to interpret the Bible, and that's always dangerous. You don't interpret the Bible by current events, you interpret current events by the Bible. And if it doesn't fit exactly, it's not it. How long was Noah's ark built? How long was Noah building the ark? What we know is that God gave the earth with a time at the call of Noah, 120 years before there'll be a worldwide annihilation by means of the flood. And so the ark was built within the 120-year period. But it took all 120 years or half the time, whatever, we simply don't know. We're not given that much information. But it was built somewhere within the 120-year period. They were determined, why goats, why not sheep? Jesus was the Lamb of God, so it seems like the lamb should have been sacrificed, they have atonement, not a goat. Well, God makes that determination. And the lamb was used for the Passover. And when John introduced him as the Lamb of God, that connected Jesus not with the Day of Atonement, but with the Passover. He was the last Passover lamb. But as far as the Day of Atonement, this was to be an offering of two goats. And so this is the way God chose to do it. So because the Lamb of God is a term for the Passover, he's called the Lamb of God for that reason. But in the case of the Day of Atonement, then that was the two goats, and that was the way God decreed it, and no other reason is given. Why does Paul teach that it is okay to eat all things, but is condemned in Revelation 2:20? Let me just check what the verse says. Well, the specific thing is not what you can eat or not eat in verse 20. Specifically, it has to do with meat sacrificed to idols. And the original ruling for that church actually came in Acts chapter 15, where the church council of Jerusalem decreed that four things should be observed, not by all churches, but specifically in those churches that have a mixture of Jewish and Gentile members. The Agape Feast, when you have Jewish and Gentile believers coming together, if the Gentiles brought meat that was sacrificed to idols, that would be a problem for the Jewish believers and cause a stumbling block and cause a division in the church. And so for that reason, it was specified not to partake of meat sacrificed to idols if it was a mixed church. When he rested the Corinthian church that had almost no Jewish members, only a couple of families, I think, Paul points out it's permissible to eat things sacrificed to idols as long as it doesn't cause anyone to stumble. So based on the background to what verse 20 says here, this is sacrificing to idols in a situation where there's a mixed membership of Jewish and Gentile believers, causing a problem for the Jewish believers, and therefore causing an unnecessary division in the church. And that would be the reason it's brought up in this passage. So it's permissible where it does not cause stumbling, not permissible where it would cause stumbling. Why was Satan contending for the body of Moses with Michael the archangel? Now, based upon the origin of the document where this comes from, the assumption of Moses, the reason Satan gives for wanting the body of Moses because he declared that Moses was a murderer because he killed the Egyptian overseer. That was Satan's argument. Since he killed the overseer, therefore Satan should have him and not God. But Michael simply rebuked him because the overseer was attacking and one of the chosen people that needed to be protected, which was Moses attempted to do on that occasion. Now, we don't know if the content of that argument given by Satan is accurate because the assumption of Moses is not an inspired document. What it does show is that some kind of a contention took place between Moses, with the archangel Michael and Satan. Whether it was over Moses killing the overseer or not, that's an assumption we might make, but we're not sure if that's true. But what is true is there was such a contention because Satan wanted Moses' body. Another possible reason is because if Moses could be known where he was buried, they would turn it into a pilgrimage center, even a worship center, and that's what was to be avoided. And so God deliberately buried Moses in a place that nobody else would know. But that's the background is in the work of the Assumption of Moses, which is an old apocryphal book. The difference in Hebrew between the translation of servant rather than slave. As far as the Hebrew word itself, the Hebrew word is eved, E-V-E-D, E-V-E-D. And the word is used either for a servant, voluntary or involuntary, also used of a slave. So the context determines whether the word "eved" refers to a simple servant or to a house or to a slave. Often, household servants were servants for life, would be in the category of slaves, like the servant of Abraham that went to find a wife for Isaac. He was a servant in the house of Abraham, but he was a lifetime servant. And if Abraham did not have a son, then he would inherit everything Abraham had. That's all the questions I have in written form. Is there any other questions? We have about 12 minutes left. Any other questions about anything? Going once? Twice? Thrice? Well, thanks for coming out, and we shall see you here or there or in the air.
Thank you, Arnold. That was a really interesting and lovely, coherent weekend. I'm just going to pray before we finish. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time we've had together yesterday and today. We thank you for the momentous things that have happened politically this week. And I just pray that if it's in your will, that all of us will carry on with that fervency in prayer that I've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks over this issue. And as I said, if it's in your will, would you please bring us out of this horrible organisation? So I just pray now, Lord, for travelling mercies for all those returning home, and particularly Arnold, as he flies home to America on Tuesday. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.